Hi, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com, and this is the Pain Sci Updates podcast. Today's episode is devoted to pain as a homeostatic emotion. I really wish that I could claim that I already knew about this nerdy bit of pain science before someone asked me about it recently, but I hadn't even heard of it, even though it's been around since the early 2000s. It was published at about the same time, but I was just discovering that science is cooler than superstition. I also wasn't even interested at first. Pain as an emotion? That sounded fishy to me. Like I might take the author about as seriously as I would take a middle-aged electrician who thinks he's figured out how physics really works. And he sends emails to physicists demanding that they acknowledge his genius. But no. The 2003 paper was written by an American neuroanatomist and neuroscientist, Arthur Bud Craig, deceased quite recently in 2023. And Bud made a serious case for a high-level hypothesis about how pain works, namely that pain is a homeostatic emotion. Crankery isn't entirely out of the question because the hypothesis does, in fact, contradict some of the greatest hits of pain science. But Bud had real game. He was a genuine expert, and he was not messing around. So I started reading more carefully, and my eyes got wider as I went. The hypothesis is fascinating. So now I'd like to translate his very difficult paper for pain sci members as best I can. Let's deal with the emotions first. This is not about emotion in the familiar sense, although it is meaningfully related. The word emotion almost kept me from diving into this topic. So let's start by clearing something up. It does not mean that pain is in the same class as feeling sad or mad or Weltschmerz. That's the borrowed German word for world pain, which I'm feeling an awful lot of lately. A homeostatic emotion is a technical term for feelings that tell us our physiological status. Thirsty, tired, sick, hot, hungry, and so on. These have also been called primordial feelings and homeostatic feelings, and Dr. Bud Craig is the one who replaced feelings with emotions. I'm not sure if that was a good choice, but it's what he went with, and he did not mean that feeling pain is like being in a bad mood. Unless he did. Because part of the point here is that homeostatic emotions are cousins to feelings, but they are more fundamental and hindbrainy, and importantly, more motivating. Craig proposed the pain evolved as part of the system that feels and reacts to internal physiological conditions to maintain homeostasis, making it, quote, a specific emotion that reflects homeostatic behavioral drive similar to temperature, itch, hunger, and thirst. This is in contrast to the more conventional view of pain being mainly about, quote, the exteroceptive sense of touch, which is a subcategory of touch, ouchy touch. Another way to put it, pain is not about sensing and interpreting the outside world, exteroception, sensing the outer world, but rather how the inside of the body is getting on, interoception, sensing the inner world, and responding to that. Homeostatic signaling, internal sensations about physiological state, like too warm, is, quote, a feeling from the body that motivates behavior. They push us to act, to move away from the heat or towards the food. Scientists had already known that, quote, pain and temperature are processed together in the mammalian central nervous system, but Craig added, quote, their underlying commonality as aspects of homeostasis. Very important phrase there. That is, pain is handled by the same neurological systems as all the other homeostatic feelings. They literally follow the same pathways. Craig's 2003 paper appears to have been his magnum opus where he laid all this out in detail. and he was a neuroanatomist, so he brought the hard science and his exotic wiring diagrams. He argued that this is not just a thought experiment, but arises directly from functional anatomical findings in cat and monkey, carefully contrasted with human neurology. They explored several specific and technical examples in the paper. The most interesting example, to me, primates have a unique forebrain region devoted to integration of interoceptive information, or homeostatic emotions. In other animals, the signaling pathway for internal weather reports only gets as far as the brainstem. This strongly suggests that our experience of pain is more tied into our complex minds, probably both affected by our psychology and also more capable of affecting it. Quote, only primates seem to have the neuroanatomical capacity to feel pain in the same way that humans do. This surprisingly high-level processing of primordial feelings in humans is probably why Bud coined the term homeostatic emotions. He was saying that human pain gets a lot closer to being part of our complex emotional reality than it does in animals. It's probably no less motivating in animals, but for humans, it also obviously gets more, well, emotional. Another good example of an experimental basis for Craig's hypothesis is that chordotomy lesions interrupt these feelings. That is, the same lesion that will disrupt other homeostatic feelings, like itch, will also disrupt pain. Cool. So let's meet the new boss, not the same as the old boss. Craig concludes by explaining in more detail how all of this contrasts with the prior conventional view, his words, and still the conventional view now, despite his work. Also sharing this quote, to give you a taste of how dense the paper is, brace for impact. This is a lot. I could probably devote an entire other post of this size just to translating this paragraph. I will dive into one key point, but mostly this is to just give you a sense of it and to share some of the intense jargon. So, Bud writes, it incorporates specific sensory channels for different kinds of pain and for pain of different tissue origins. It, he's talking about his theory, it provides a fast, sharp pain channel that can elicit fight or flight behavior and a slow burning pain channel that can engage long-term responses, sickness behavior, and immune function. The discriminative topographic representations in interoceptive cortex obviate the involvement of S1 in feelings from the body. Viewing pain as a homeostatic emotion readily incorporates the interactions of pain with the other homeostatic functions and with emotional state, such as in psychosomatic illness. Sensitization of lamina 1-STT nociceptive neurons can easily explain neuropathic allodynia and loss of the inhibition imposed on the motivational pathway by thermosensory activity provides a concrete anatomical model for central pain. This view also provides a clear explanation for the conjoint activation of the ACC and the right anterior insula in placebo analgesia. Yeah, it would take a few hundred more words to translate all of that. But the gist is clear enough. The model can account for some aspects of pain that are tough to explain without it. Of the many points that I could emphasize, I'd like to call out just one. What does chronic pain motivate? People have trouble with the idea of chronic pain as a motivating experience. We understand pull hand away from hot stove. The point of that pain is nice and clear. But how are we supposed to react to stubborn pain with no clear cause when there's no stove to pull away from? What is the homeostatic emotion of chronic pain motivating us to do about it? It's worth asking in this context because the whole point here is that a homeostatic emotion is motivating. All of the homeostatic emotions are very motivating. They're motivating us to adapt to our circumstances in some way to help our system get back to a nice, pleasant, neutral. And Craig is giving us the answer here. The thing that we're being motivated to do is sickness behavior, which means hunker down, move less, be conservative, no adventures today. This is a broad spectrum way of responding to something being wrong physiologically, and it is motivated by feeling lousy and fragile and sensitive, which is all mediated by neuroinflammation. That pain-motivated behavior has clear survival value in the big picture. Generally, doing less improves your odds of recovering from whatever is wrong, if only it could guarantee it. And by the way, I strongly suspect that this system evolved mostly to deal with infections, that the odds that that evolution is playing here are that chances are the reason you feel gross is an infection, and on average over huge spans of time in biology, the best way of dealing with infections is to back away from your fellow humans, do less, rest more. I have written a bunch about sickness behavior. This is not actually the first time that I've thought about sickness behavior, thanks to Dr. Bud Craig, but he definitely deepened my understanding of it with this paper that I didn't know existed until very recently. I am not qualified to comment on how effective Craig was at defending and supporting his idea. But it seems impressive from my perspective as a journalist. I am aware and could spend, you know, another 1,000 words on processing it, that there are a couple of things, some of the implications that he discusses, I'm not so sure about. Like, for instance, I will call out the fact that he... Where did it go? Oh, yeah, placebo and analgesia. This also provides a clear explanation for placebo analgesia. But we now know that placebo analgesia is extremely minor if it exists at all. So maybe he's trying to explain something that doesn't actually need explaining. So we could, you know, there's details that I could dig into and think critically about. But overall, this seems quite impressive. It's unclear to me how influential the paper was. According to ResearchGate, it has been cited close to 1,000 times, so clearly it has had some influence, but there was also very little follow-up work from Craig. This 2003 paper was his last major professional publication, I think. And there's also very little else about the topic. Maybe I'm underestimating that. Maybe now I'm going to start seeing it everywhere as I read more. But it's not like pain is a homeostatic emotion. It's not like there's a bunch of other papers specifically about that. Hopefully not famous last words. PubMed, pain as a homeostatic emotion. Are there any others? Nope. There's not even one. Yeah, nope. There's pretty much literally just his. Yeah, I'm looking at related papers in a PubMed search, and yeah, there's very little else. There's some related stuff, but, you know, clearly nothing else specifically about this. Okay, so that is your tour of this 2003 paper. Thanks for listening to all the nerdy details. Talk to you next time.